web designer.
Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Today I'd like to talk with you about confessing Jesus Christ. Confessing Jesus Christ with your lips before men. How important is that, do you think? Does that have anything to do with your salvation? Is there a difference, do you think, between confessing Christ and simply just professing Him with your lips? Let's take a look at that today, especially we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 8 to 12, and we'll look at other scriptures as we always do as well for the full picture, but we'll focus on Luke 12. So let's talk today about the importance of confessing the name of Jesus Christ before men in our lives. How important is that even with respect to our salvation? What does Jesus teach us about that? So let's just read Luke chapter 12, start out there, and see what he says. Beginning at verse 8, Jesus says, "I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious how or what you are to answer or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So, the one who acknowledges Jesus before men, Jesus will acknowledge. If you want to combine this with Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "I will acknowledge you before my Father and before his angels, but if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father and before his angels." So how important does it sound for us to confess Jesus Christ with our lips before men?
Very.
Kind of, let's say, super important. Does it have to do with salvation? What do you think? If you confess Jesus, Jesus says, "I'll confess you and your name before my Father and before his angels. Angels, but if you deny me before men, not confessing me, I will not confess you before my Father and his angels." Does that sound like it relates to salvation?
Yeah.
Absolutely, it does. How so, though? Is confession, when we confess Jesus Christ with our lips before the world and before people, does that save us because it is a meritorious work by which we earn heaven?
No.
Because the Bible says that we are justified or saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ apart from our works. So, how does confession, though, save us? Well, confession doesn't save us because it's a meritorious work, but what is confession ultimately? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, exactly. And it says the inward faith of the heart, the justifying faith, expressing itself outwardly through the confession of the lips. So it's faith that's justifying you, but the faith that justifies you can't but speak the name of Jesus because you love the name of Jesus. Take, for example, these candles up here. They are lights. Let's call that justifying faith. The heat that's pouring off of them, if I put my hand above the candle, that's the confession of the lips. Where there is light and heat and fire, there will be heat. There'll be heat pouring off of it. And so, you're justified by faith alone in Christ, but the faith which saves also has confession with it, because it's impossible for justifying faith not to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, because we love him and he is our Savior. Remember, they tried to tell the apostles in the book of Acts. They arrested them, they threatened them, they charged them, "You shall speak no more to any man in Jesus' name." What did the apostles say? "We cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard." And so confession that Jesus Christ is Lord is simply the faith of the heart inside expressing itself outwardly through the lips. Is that a saving thing? What do you think?
Yeah.
Let me open up in Romans 10 and see what Paul says. Verse 9, he says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sound like salvation to you? For he says, for a man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. Again, not because it's a meritorious work where you're earning heaven or something, but you're justified by faith in Christ, which then expresses itself through the confession of the lips, Jesus is Lord. Can you say Jesus is Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
No one can say that, Paul says, except by the Holy Spirit. Okay. And if you confess me before men, Jesus says, and this is the great confidence, I'm going to confess you before my Father and before his angels. That means right now, but especially on the day of his coming, on the last day, I'll confess your name and you'll be saved. So, confession that Jesus Christ is Lord is super important. It does relate to salvation. But is it just that just saying Jesus is Lord that saves you? Well, it depends. It depends on which Jesus you're calling on. There's a lot of different Jesuses in the world, aren't there? There's the true one, the real McCoy, and there's a lot of decoys and fake ones out there. If you confess Jesus as Lord, for example, as a Jehovah's Witness, that's not going to save you. It'll damn you. Why? They got the wrong Jesus. Their Jesus is not God with us in the flesh, but the Archangel Michael, they will say. Jesus died on the cross, ceased to exist, and was recreated as the Archangel Michael. Jesus is Lord? No, their confession would damn them. It's the wrong Jesus. How about the Mormons? They say Jesus is Lord too, but they say he was a creature who then became a God, and you can become a God too if you do what Jesus did. Is that a saving faith and confession? They got the wrong Jesus. Their confession also will damn them. They need to repent, come to the truth. Got liberal Christians out there these days who say Jesus is Lord. He is a way, a truth, and a life, but not the way to God. Is that a saving faith and a confession? Wrong Jesus, once again. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Their confession will not save them. And then the Muslims as well, they say Jesus, well, he wasn't Lord, but he's a prophet, a great man. But he didn't die on the cross. He's not God in the flesh, nor did he rise from the dead. Is that a confession that'll save you? It'll damn you. So there's a lot of Jesuses out there. You need to, number one, confess the right Jesus. And how do you know the right Jesus? The one in accordance with this book that testifies by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is God with us in the flesh. He is the one who came to preach to us the truth, bear our sins, die for them on the cross, be buried, be raised from the dead on the third day, appeared to the apostles, ascended to heaven, and is coming again on the clouds of heaven. The sinless one, the only way, the only Savior of the world, this Jesus Christ, I confess to you, crucified and risen again from the dead and coming on the clouds of glory. Does that sound like a good confession to you?
Yep.
I'm happy I get to say it today. It is a joy to say it, and it is a saving confession when you confess with me the Jesus of Scriptures. So number one, you got to have the right Jesus when you say Jesus is Lord. That saves. Secondly, it should be straight and clear, the answer. Amen. Mm-hmm. I was watching a YouTube video on Jordan Peterson. You ever hear of him?
Sure.
Yeah, a couple of days ago I was watching this, and he was on a show with Piers Morgan, the British guy. Mm-hmm. Piers Morgan says, do you believe in God? Jordan Peterson said, that's a private question. And so he didn't answer. So Piers Morgan presses him on a little more, and Jordan Peterson says, well, by your fruits you shall know them. Okay, running around the question. Well, let me ask you a different question, says Pierce, since you're not answering this one. Do you think that there's a God? He says, well, I'm terrified that there might be one. I'll stake my very life on the proposition that God exists. How's that? Pierce Morgan isn't satisfied. He says, do you ever pray? He says, always. Well, who do you pray to? The Spirit that saves me from hell. Pierce Morgan says, well, that sounds like what people would call God. Peterson says, sounds good to me. Does that sound like a saving confession to you?
No.
What does that sound like? He's giving them the runaround. Beware of any confession that can't answer a straight question about Jesus with a straight and clear answer. How about you guys? Who is Jesus Christ? He is Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords, my Savior. Think about contrasting that one with Hulk Hogan. Remember Hulk Hogan? Should I tear off my robes up here? The Hulk Hogan expression. Well, he, at the end of his life, last couple of years, was baptized, came to Jesus Christ. He said it was the best day of his life. He says he learned that everything else in the world is temporary, but Jesus Christ alone and his gospel is what matters and is eternal. He said, he is my Savior. He died for my sins on the cross. He rose again, and I devote the rest of my life to delivering the message of the good news of salvation in Jesus. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
I like that one a whole lot better. It should be a straight and a clear confession. No straight answer equals no faith equals no salvation, but a straight and clear answer is what we should give. What are we doing when we're confessing Jesus' name? We're simply confessing the truth about his true identity, who he claims to be. And then, one more, we need to, in our confession, also have a life that is in accordance with our confession, amen? Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between confessing Christ and just professing him, that you know him? There are certain people that will say Jesus is Lord and maybe even say some of the right things about them that they should say, but their life does not bear witness to the Savior. They don't follow him. They don't really believe in him because they still go after evil. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So there's a confession of our lives, not just of our lips, but of our actions that counts. And Jesus says, on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name. Do many mighty works in your name. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, all you evil doers. So, the confession of the lips is important. The belief of the heart is what saves. And the confession of the life, too. That it's in accord with the confession of our lips. They profess to know God, says Paul, of the false teachers. But they deny him by their deeds, etc. So, is this an easy thing for us to do or a hard thing to confess Jesus Christ? What do you say?
Hard.
Actually, it's easy, right? I mean, these candles cannot but give off heat. We cannot but declare joy in the name of Jesus because he saved us. We were sinners going to hell. He stepped in, threw himself on the grenade, take the whole brunt of the explosion of sin on our behalf to save us and make it so that we can live through faith in him. So it's easy. We love to declare the name of Jesus Christ and to share with other people the saving message. But it's also, secondly, hard too, isn't it? Why is it hard to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Because we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord before men. And what can we say of men? Men are at odds with Jesus.
Sinners.
They are at war. The world is at war with Jesus. They do not confess him as the true king. They want to go after the devil, whether they know it or not. For John says in his letter, we know that we're of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. So if we have to confess Jesus' name before the world, what is that but to declare war upon the world, upon men, upon our own sinful natures, and upon the devil, who is the fake God and King of this world. So to confess Jesus Christ as Lord is hard, in a sense, because it is to confess your allegiance to the true King and defy the King of this world, the devil. What do we say in the baptismal liturgy, right? We confess in our baptism liturgy, Jesus is Lord. We made the good confession about God, but what else do we do? Ask for the devil and all of his works and ways, I renounce them. In other words, it's to declare war. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus is the truth. That is going to bring a fight. And so on the one hand, it's super easy and it's our joy. On the other hand, it is a battle to confess Jesus before men. Haven't you all felt that, by the way? I mean, we can in church say very easily, Jesus is Lord. Then you go out into the world and start proclaiming it on the street corner or at a party or at work or something, and all of a sudden there is battle. You can almost cut the tension with a knife, can't you? Sometimes I go around, occasionally I'll wear my collar out like to the hospital or something. It's amazing how it changes a room. Just the presence of even the sight of what might be the name of Jesus Christ. People change. Sometimes they'll give you a cold shoulder. They'll draw back. There'll be a great instant distance between yourself and others at the name of Jesus. Sometimes there'll be a flying fist. I'm going to attack you for that, as happens in many parts of our world. Hopefully, they're willing to hear the message of salvation that they too can come to him and be saved. But I want you to know today, this is not easy as well. To confess Jesus Christ as Lord is to declare war. I defy you, Satan. I cancel any obligations and allegiance to you, and Jesus Christ alone is my Savior, King, and Lord from here on. Jesus says, if the world hates you, it's going to hate me. I mean, I say, if it hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you because it loves its own. But because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they're going to keep yours also. But all this they're going to do to you on my account because they don't know him who sent me. Think of all the Christian brothers and sisters we've had through the centuries that have been killed for their faith. Why? Simply for the confession of the name of Jesus Christ. Early in the church, they were challenged by the Roman authorities. Confess Caesar is Lord. And the Christians said, no, Jesus is Lord. And for that, they had their heads cut off, thrown to the lions. Well, it may not be that way at a party today in America, but it is that way in other parts of the world. Try saying that in Pakistan, going down the streets there. Or in Baghdad, Jesus Christ is Lord, at the street corner. What are you going to get for it? Even in the church, as you know, when I was in the other Lutheran body, the ELCA, what did I get in trouble for? Simply confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, that I'm justified, we are justified by faith alone in him. And the pastor at that church, being a liberal, turned me in to the seminary. Why? Simply for the confession of my lips. And all the seminary professors sided with him. What was that but war? And so it's a fight, it's a battle when we declare Christ. And sometimes Christians have, in a temporary moment of weakness, not made the good confession. Have you ever done that? You've been in a group of other unbelievers in the world and Jesus' name comes up and you don't speak up for him. You're a little afraid. You're shy. You're silent. Or maybe, God forbid, maybe in some sense denied it. Is there restoration for you in such a case? Well, who in the Bible denied Christ?
Peter.
Though they all fall away because of you this night, I will never fall away. I'll never deny you, says Peter. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, before the cock crows this night, you're going to deny me three times. Remember, that oppression of that evil force of darkness that was at work on that night was such that even all the apostles fell and denied Jesus before men. And Peter, even with an oath, called down a curse upon himself. I do not know that man. Three times. Could Peter be restored? He was on the beach after the resurrection. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. Three times, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And Jesus restored him. He can restore you too. So if you've ever not spoken up when you should have, been silent when Jesus' name was challenged, then simply repent, run to Jesus, let him restore you as well, and let's never do it again. Because what God calls us to here is war, to an enduring, constant, fearless, courageous confession of his name. And you know, it's actually such a joy to do that. The more opposition you face to the name of Jesus Christ, the greater thrill it is to declare it. Have you ever felt that? Martin Luther said, once you've tasted that, when he had to stand against all of Europe and the whole Holy Roman Empire to declare the truth of our salvation in the gospel, he said, once you've tasted that kind of courage the Holy Spirit gives you, you're going to never want to go back and be silent again. You didn't want to say that every day. It's so joyful and thrilling. How can we make the good confession of Jesus Christ before men when it's war? The answer is the Holy Spirit. Because when they deliver you up, Jesus says, to synagogues, rulers, authorities, don't be anxious what you're to say or what you are to speak. The Holy Spirit in that hour will give you the very thing to say. It's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father in you. So that's the cool thing. When you confess Jesus' name, the thrill of it is the Holy Spirit is so filling with energy, divine power, light. You're just like, it's a joy to trumpet it out to the world unashamedly, boldly. This Jesus, said the same Peter, who denied Christ, this Jesus you delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Same guy who was afraid, a few days later, courage, dauntless power. That's what God gives to you in the Holy Spirit, to confess Jesus' name. And I remember when early on in my life, when I came to Christ in my early 20s, I immediately went out and started to preach Jesus Christ to everybody I met. But I wasn't so great at it. But I did it anyway because I believed in it and it was my joy. But can you get better at this? Actually, Paul, when he got saved, he immediately proclaimed Jesus. But then we read, he increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. If you don't feel so super bold in your confession today, take heart, the Holy Spirit is not done with you yet. You can come out and share it with the world. But then Paul went away for 14 years. They don't even hear the guy until he returns and he comes in like a powerhouse, more than a conqueror, and nobody can stop him. How do you get good at confessing Jesus' name fluently before men? Remember Robin Hood's my favorite movie there? When Prince John challenges him, you're speaking treason, Robin Hood says, fluently. That's what we want to do. We want to speak treason against the devil fluently, confessing Jesus' name easily. How do you get good at it?
Practice.
Practice. Thank you, Kevin. You know how I started to get better at it? I used to be trepidatious, tripping over my words, doing my best, confessing Christ, but not so confident or great. The best thing I did was I was a chaplain at the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore. I go around all night long as a chaplain visiting rooms to people who are unconscious, hooked up to respirators, some people in comas. I figure I got a captive audience. I'd go in there and I'd just share Christ with them all night long, knowing God would empower these words so they could hear them somehow and be saved. But I was like, I just started saying it everywhere I went, and it just got easier and more fluent, more powerful, more joyful. I got more confident. Just speak the name. We love the name. The more you do it, the Holy Spirit's going to make it flow like a river, a powerful river into the ears of those who hear. As Peter said, there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so, the Holy Spirit will empower you. And why is this such a great joy to us to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the light. He is the way to the Father. He's the true King. To declare war on the devil is good. He's a fake. To declare Jesus Christ as King, well, when he comes, he'll confess your name too. And this is the good confession Jesus made before Pilate. He says, I am a king. My kingship is not of this world. For this I was born, and for this I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is the door of the sheep. If you enter by him, you will be saved. He is the vine where the branches. He is the bread of life that you not hunger or thirst anymore. He is the light of the world that you not walk in darkness but have the light of the life, the light of life. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us that we believing on him might be saved. He is the resurrection and the life who's going to raise your bodies on the last day by the power which he has from God. He is the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. That's my confession. I know that's your confession too. And the confidence and the joy that we have in that today from God is this. Jesus says, yes, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father and his angels. But you confessing and acknowledging my name before men, I am also going to confess and acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven and before his angels today and on that great day of my coming to your eternal joy in my kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.